Dr. Choi, how do you see gun violence as a public health issue?
You know, when we think about gun violence, we see how it plays a significant role in morbidity and mortality in the United States. And that plays out, you know, in the individual patient encounters that we see, but also at a community level and a broader population level. And so I see gun violence and gun safety as a public health issue in that way. And so in my daily patient encounters, or even the community that I live in I work in downtown Oakland, and gun violence is a significant issue for our communities. I also work part of the time in San Francisco, and at San Francisco General, every summer, predictably, we have victims of gun violence with serious injuries there. So I feel like it's all around me, and I think that there are a lot of different ways that clinicians should take very seriously their role, their responsibility, their privilege to actually make a difference in these areas.
Are clinicians engaging more with the current gun crisis in America? How can they further their efforts?
I think that at a couple different levels, you know, physicians have been awakened, have felt like that it's really now their problem now. I think that plays out in counseling with individual patients about mental health as well as gun violence, but also with stepping up to find opportunities to really connect with community groups and schools, as well as engaging local, state, and national lawmakers.
How can clinicians get their voices heard?
I think that there are a lot of small ways that people can start making, you know, start going this direction. I think the first thing is collecting stories, whether it be personal ones, whether it be your neighbor, your community, or patients that you see. You know, I like to keep a Google Doc, for example, open, where if I think of a patient's story that really strikes me, I just write it down a few lines, and I might not go back to it for a long time, but there'll be a time where I'll say, you know, this thing happened, it ties to this, and, you know, is there a way that I could really elevate this patient's story to help change, you know, society, change things at a bigger, at a higher level? So collecting stories is super important. There can be very subtle things, like in social media, for example, as we know, there's a potential for really helping to galvanize and influence public opinion. So even sending a tweet about an article that you read or some things you feel strongly about as it relates to health and safety, it can only just take a few seconds, and it just gets, you know, it's one more voice that gets out there. You know, interestingly, I'm fairly active on Twitter, and I have reporters, newspaper reporters, and other media outlets that follow me, and I've had an occasion where I've tweeted something, and somebody followed up on that and wanted me to have a broader interview for a story. So, you know, those types of networks create some really interesting opportunities. There was a time in the past where, you know, we were always trying to get an op-ed written, to spend hours on it, on the timely issue, and get it submitted, and spend all night to do it, and then submit it. And it doesn't get posted. It doesn't get used for the newspaper, and they're so limited by space. But now with blogs, there's a real opportunity to at least get it out there so somebody can see it. One of my pediatrician colleagues wrote a blog post that got posted that was taken by the Huffington Post. She also works with another organization related to Moms Against Gun Violence, making some important, profound points. And again, adding to that chorus of voices that say that things need to change. And I think that as we all do those small things, hopefully that we can create a certain momentum and at least influence the direction of our country's going.
Could you share your thoughts on the challenge we have in talking about gun violence and many of the safety net communities represented by the ACU that may have coexisting language, culture, and literacy barriers?
Well, I think that the key will be to focus in on what happens at the very local community, micro-community levels. When we talk about ethnic groups, there are certainly ethnic gangs, and there are a lot of cultural as well as kind of acculturation, kind of getting settled in a new country, challenges that play into some of those dynamics, as well as the ability to communicate freely and comfortably with law enforcement, for example, and feeling that there's a relationship with them, as well as a comfort to report related issues. So I think that it's something that is important to really address at the local community levels.
For this story bank, do you have an example of a frontline perspective on the gun violence issue?
I'm not sure if you're aware, but this American Life, that NPR's FM series, just recently did a two-part series on violence that occurs in high schools. And they profiled this one particular high school called Harper High School in Chicago, where they had 29 students who were shot last year alone. It's just mind-blowing. And they were embedded in a way, I guess, for like 6 months at that high school, and provided this real eye-opening into the dynamics at play and the pressures that these students are feeling that may have contributed to or are as a consequence of the gun violence in their area.
How do you see clinicians exerting their influence and becoming advocates?
I think that clinicians under-recognize the amount of influence and power they have, whether it be on that individual patient interaction, but also engaging city councilmen, you know, local legislators, state, and even national, at the national levels. Because we have those stories, we see that at that broad level, but we also have the medical training and the data and the knowledge that give us an incredible amount of credibility. And I think that when we have a window of opportunity, sadly, we have a window of opportunity after the shooting, after the massacre in Connecticut, that we need to make the most of that while we can. And to let it kind of go by, I think we'll regret until another sad incident occurs.
Dr. Choi, thank you for taking time to share your perspective on this important topic.